I am. I'm coming nearer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. As always, message has already been preached. And I just say thank you for that. Hallelujah. At the ladies' meeting on Wednesday, we had a great time. And we were looking at our diet. And I felt that the Lord said that I was to continue in looking at the diet today. So for all of you who were not at the ladies' meeting, you don't get away with it. You're hearing it today. Hallelujah. And my question is, what's your diet like? I can see a lot of faces going. What's your diet like? What are you feeding on? Is it doing your body good? Are you looking after the body that God has given you? My diet, well, what can I say about my diet? Because I can only talk about my diet. It's not my job to talk about your diet. My diet could probably be a lot better than what it is. I don't always eat my five a day, my five portions of fruit and veg. I don't always eat five in a day. Anybody else not eat five in a day? Come on, let's be honest. Well, we'll stick with five at the moment, Ronald. I'm still trying to attain five. Then I'll increase it. I could quite easily live on chocolate, actually. Anybody else fancy a diet of chocolate? I like all these hands going up. But here's the question. Whatever it is you're eating, is it doing your body any good? Because if my diet solely consists of chocolate, that is not good. It might be very pleasurable and very enjoyable, but it's not good in the physical. It will not do my body any good. It will be blocking my arteries. It will be giving me high blood pressure. It will be raising my cholesterol levels. It will be sapping all of my energy. I've got John Rowlands in the back shaking his head. It will sap your energy. You will have no life. You will just want to be a couch potato. And that's the truth. And, you know, sometimes we just have to face the fact that our diet needs to improve. And I'm talking to me, okay? So my diet needs to improve. There's a saying in the world that you are what you eat. So what does that say of you? Don't answer. What does that say of you? If you are what you eat, what does it say of you? Ponder it. John always comes out with all these great sayings from the gym. Because, you know, my man is looking after his body. And he comes out, he shared it many a time here, you cannot out-train a bad diet. And the truth is, you can't. So if your diet is bad, then face the fact that your body will not be healthy. Bottom line. Okay, there's no grey areas. If your diet's bad, you are not in the health that you are meant to be in. A bad diet is detrimental to both your physical and your spiritual well-being, because a bad diet affects every part of your being. It affects you in the physical realm. It affects you in the mental realm, and it affects you in the spiritual realm. So it's the whole of your body that is not going to be where it should be. That's just something to think about. Because here's the truth. Who is it that puts the food in your mouth? You know, as adults, I think we are all feeding ourselves, yes. We're not being spoon-fed by anyone. So, you know, we have to face the fact that we're responsible for what we put down our throat. Yes? Are we all in agreement with that? It's okay, please, keep listening, because it does get better. It's just to give you food for thought. Pardon the pun. Pardon the pun. The whole thing about a bad diet as well is that it not only affects you, but it'll affect your family. It'll affect your family. Because do you know what? If you're not healthy, then you can pass that on down through your family. I'm not saying you'll make your family unhealthy, but you know, if you're lazy or tired or grumpy or frustrated or whatever because of what you're feeding on, then I'm sorry, but that's going to have an effect in your family. Yep. That's going to cause some problems in the home.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I'm getting nods of heads, that's okay. People are getting what I'm saying here. So what are you feeding on? Does your diet need to improve?
Yep.
A bad diet, what is a bad diet? Well, let's not look at the natural anymore, but let's look at the spiritual. Because a bad diet is where we eat the bread of anxious toil. A bad diet is where we just worry all the time. We're concerned, we're disappointed, we're despairing, we're frustrated, we're angry, we're feeling rejected, we're feeling abandoned. Do you know what? That is a bad diet. And if that is what you are feeding on, your physical and your spiritual well-being is badly being affected. Badly being affected. And you know, many of us so easily feed on these things. We sang a song earlier, and I love this song. It's the one that fear doesn't live here no more, and shame doesn't live here no more. But do you know what? If you're feeding on fear and if you're feeding on shame, then it does live. Because you're giving it power to live. But it's only when his name is spoken, when we are believing on the truth of what the word says, that's when fear has got to go. That's when shame has got to leave. But it depends what you're feeding on. It depends what you're feeding on. What are we meant to feed on? Well, what about a good diet? What about a good diet? A good diet from the Word of God. Philippians 4:8. Known by all of us, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, whether it's excellent or praiseworthy, think on such things. That is a good diet. And if these are the things you're feeding on, then I can guarantee you that you will know health in your body, your soul, and your spirit.
Amen.
That is good food. But do you know what? To maintain a good diet takes discipline. How are you on the discipline? Again, I can look at John and all that he has attained through going to the gym. And you know, I really admire my husband for doing what he does. The alarm goes off at 5:30. He gets up and I just turn around and go back to sleep. Do you know what? It's not my call. Because that kind of exercise is not for me. I can do other exercise, which John wouldn't like. But it's exercise that suits me. And do you know what? There's an exercise that will suit you. You just need to find out what it is. But I know the discipline that John puts into what he does at the gym. I know how hard he works. I wash his sweaty clothes when he comes home. I know that he's been working hard. So it takes effort, it takes commitment, and it's hard work. It's so much easier not to bother. It's so much easier to be a couch potato. So much easier to be lazy. You might think it's just being comfortable, but if it's being lazy, is it any good for you? Sometimes we can be indifferent. Well, I'll maybe read my Bible, but I'll maybe do it later, because Strictly Come Dancing's coming on. I just say that because I love Strictly Come Dancing. Okay? So I'm not putting that on you. I love Strictly Come Dancing. But the thing that I love about Strictly Come Dancing is the progress that I see when people are walking and dancing and being able to do things that away at the beginning they couldn't do. They couldn't put one foot in front of the other. And then all of a sudden they're doing twirls and spins and you just think, do you know how they achieve that? Hard work. Hard work achieves that. Discipline achieves that. A good diet not only feeds our body naturally, but also spiritually. And likewise, if we eat a bad diet, then it has a bad effect on our natural and spiritual body. And note that it's not just our individual body, but it's can affect our corporate body, as it can affect your family or your workplace. Yep. Because of your bad diet, yep, it can affect our corporate body. Amen. Here too. A good diet has got to work alongside exercise. And I know that so many of you at this moment are reminded about a scripture that says physical training is of some value. Some other versions say that it profiteth little. But you have to understand it still profiteth. Yeah. You see, it does do something. Amen. It does do something. So physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. And if you want a reference for that scripture, it's 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. We also read in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 that our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And it tells us in verse 20, therefore honour God with your body. You see, what we do with our body matters. It matters. And it matters to God. And if we're eating of the things of God, then he will get the honour for it. Because he sees that we are honouring our body unto him. We're meant to be a bodybuilder. I'm far from being a bodybuilder in the physical, you know. Can easy pull a muscle just lifting a box. You know, I just don't have that kind of strength. But there's a greater strength that we get through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's his strength that we need. I have no strength of my own. In my own strength, I can achieve nothing for God. But it's his strength in me that causes me to be able to achieve for him. He is my approval. He is my approval. But we're meant to be a bodybuilder. Jude verse 20 says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. So you see, we have the responsibility of building ourselves up. We can't just sit on the couch all of the time and expect God to do it. We are the ones who are responsible for building ourselves up in our most holy faith. And that is through the Word. And here's the thing. When we build ourselves up, We actually build up one another. That's what John was speaking earlier about Caleb when Isabella was walking. When we build ourselves up, we build up one another. You see, there's a greater effect. There's a greater influence. There's something going on in the heavenly realms that we can't see with these eyes. But we need to see them with the eyes of faith. Paul says in Romans 1, verses 11 and 12, I long to see you so that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to make you strong. And verse 12 says, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Isn't that just beautiful? We come together so that we can impart something to one another, so that we can build one another up, so that we can edify and encourage one another. It's beautiful. And I just love that verse 12 says, that is, that you and I may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. You see, I can encourage you with my faith, but you can encourage me with yours. And I need you to encourage me with your faith. I need that. Sharing our gifts with one another is like sharing a meal. We're feeding one another with the goodness that God has given us. With the seed that he's sown in our hearts, we sow that seed out to one another. So we're feeding on one another. We're feeding on one another's faith. And do you know what happens when we do that? It causes us all to grow and flourish. All of us will grow and flourish as we share our gifts, our talents with one another. With the measure of faith that each one of us has, as we share that with one another, all of us will grow. So you see, it's not just benefiting us as individuals, but it's benefiting us corporately as a body. Hallelujah. In Matthew 6, verse 12, it's when Jesus is teaching the disciples how to pray. And verse 12 simply says, give us today our daily bread. You see, we need daily bread. John's already said that, you know, if you're coming here on a Sunday morning, that's not enough daily bread. What you get on a Sunday morning will keep you for a Sunday. But you need fresh daily bread on the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. We need to have that fresh daily bread. And it's the bread that comes from heaven itself. Jesus. Let's look at John chapter 6. Gospel of John chapter 6. I'm reading verses 30 to 35. So they asked him, what miraculous sign then will you give that we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Jesus said to them, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Do you know, the disciples just didn't get it, did they? They didn't get that Jesus was actually saying, I am that bread. It was the very thing that he declared. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. Hallelujah. He's our source. Yes. He's our food. Amen. He is the one we have to feed on a daily basis. We have to eat of him. That's what communion's all about. When we break the bread and when we drink the wine, we are recognizing his body and we're recognizing his blood. We are partaking of the body of Christ and of the blood of Christ. And so it is every time we have communion. Not just when we take the elements, but when we have that personal communion through the Holy Spirit. We're eating and we're drinking of the body and the blood of Christ every time we have communion. Every time you're in prayer, every time you're meditating on the word, you're having communion. You're remembering what Jesus has done. You see, you need to see the power in that. You need to see that. It'll encourage you. It will encourage you. And you know what? You will feel healthier because of it. Because you're feasting on a good diet. Now let's go back a little and let's look at verse 27. Jesus says in verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." Amen, Ronald. His seal of approval. And now let's go further down and let's read verse 57. Verse 57 says, "Just as the living Father sent me and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me." That's our food. And if we eat of that food, we will live. Do you want to live? Hallelujah. Verse 63, "The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and they are life." See, our life is in the spirit realm. The flesh counts for nothing. We have to eat of the goodness of God. We have to eat of the bread from heaven. We have to eat of that manna. And it has to be fresh on a daily basis. Not stale, not moldy. Let me tell you a story, which is a very true story. When we were all small, we would go for a week, maybe two, to Sandy Hills for our holidays. And some of you here might be thinking, "You went to Sandy Hills for your holidays?" Do you know what? When I was small, that was like going to Mallorca or going anywhere abroad. We had the most fabulous times, 20 minutes down the coast, because we went not to a holiday hut. In my father's vocabulary, he would say we were going to a holiday chalet.
He was deceived.
It was just a hut. But do you know what? In that hut, we had the most amazing times. We were there as a family. We did family things. We were all together and we had a great time. It was so special. But there was one year where we were going to our holiday chalet, and my mum was not able to be with us because she had heard by letter, because we had no phones. And at this moment, you're thinking, how old are you? We did not have a phone in our home. If you wanted to use the phone, you went down to that red phone box, okay, and put money in the phone box. So we did not have a phone at home. And my mother heard by letter that her father had died in Germany. So by the time she got the letter, the funeral had already taken place, so she had missed that, wasn't able to be there at the time. But she wanted to go and see the grave. She wanted to be with her family, understandably. So being a very good mother and knowing how not so good my dad was in the kitchen, my mum prepared a lot of food for us to eat during the days that she would not be there. There was a chicken that was cooked. And in our holiday chalet, we did not have a fridge. So the chicken was put inside the oven to keep it cool. Because the oven was not switched on, okay? My dad was not good in the kitchen, but he did not have the oven switched on. Well, let me fast forward maybe 24 hours, maybe even 48 hours, I can't recall. Dad said, well, today we're going to have that chicken. Well, we pulled the chicken out of the oven and the maggots met us. That would not have been a good diet. That would not have done us any good whatsoever. But you see, the chicken did look good. When you first knew when it went in the oven, it looked good. It didn't look so good when it came out. So do you know what? You really have to know what you're eating. You have to know what you're eating. Because there was no way we were going to eat that chicken. So that was a true story. That was one of my holiday highlights. Highlights. I can't even remember what we had that day. It was probably a tin of corned beef, but that's okay. Do you know what, though? We still had fun. We still had fun. My dad just was no good in the kitchen. We never thought that the temperature was so hot, you know, at Sandy Hills, that the chicken in the oven would actually be growing things inside. We never thought of that. But do you know what? Even in that little picture, if you're having a bad diet, what are you allowing to grow on the inside?
Amen. That's good.
What are you allowing to grow on the inside?
Amen.
Maggots. Hopefully not. Anyway, let's move on from the maggots. Hallelujah. Jesus himself says in John 4:34, he tells us what his food is all about. And he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Jesus knew what he had to eat. He knew what he had to eat. And he ate all of it. He didn't waste any of it. He didn't throw any of it out. He didn't decide, well, I fancy that bit, but I don't fancy that bit. Jesus did it all. And he did it all for me and you. Jesus also tells Peter in John 21, and again, you'll all know this. He firstly tells Peter to feed his lambs. And then he says, take care of my sheep. And then he said, feed my sheep. So feed my lambs, take care of my sheep, and feed my sheep. Lambs need a different diet to sheep. But all of them need cared for. And do you know what? We as the church have a responsibility. All of us have a responsibility to take care of the sheep.
Amen.
We should all be taking care of one another.
Amen.
We should all be thinking more highly of one another than we do of ourselves. Amen. eating spiritual food. Jesus himself, the bread of heaven, will cause his kingdom to come here on earth. And he will be the one who will receive all the glory and all the honour. So we need to have a good diet. I just want to share one or two scriptures that I did share on Wednesday night. So for the ladies who were there, I know that you can feed on this again. Because it will still do you good. And that's the thing. It doesn't matter how often you eat of this, it'll always do you good. You will never go to this and eat anything from it which will bring harm to you. Because all of this will bring you life in abundance. Hallelujah. Psalm 34 verse 8 says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Very simple. But how often are you tasting? And how often are you seeing? Let's look at Matthew 15. As always, you know, there are warnings that we need to be aware of. And there's a warning just coming up from Matthew 15. Here we have the Pharisees and the teachers are trying to cause Jesus a bit of grief. And they're speaking to him about what is clean and what is unclean. But let's see what Jesus says in verse 10 and verse 11. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen and understand. What goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean. But what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean." I find that quite interesting. You see, Jesus was saying it had nothing to do with food. Natural food. But he was referring to what goes on in the spirit realm. Let's read on 17 through 20. Peter had just asked Jesus to explain the parable. And Jesus said, "Are you still so dull?" They still didn't get it. And you know what? Sometimes you and me, we don't get it either. You know, so let's not judge the disciples for the times that they didn't get it. Because how many times do you and I not get it? Verse 17, "Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body?" I'm assuming I don't need to explain that or expound on that. It's quite straightforward. "But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean." You see, that's the food that comes from a bad diet.
Yeah, amen. That's good. Amen.
"For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean." And that is so powerful. That is just so powerful. And I just pray that as you meditate on that scripture, that you will hear what God is saying to you. So powerful. I'm actually just going to look at one more part of scripture that I thought I had in here. But it's not there, but I know where it is. So it's Isaiah 55. Hallelujah. Isaiah 55. And I'm reading verses 1 and 2, and then I'm going on to verses 10 and 11. So 1 and 2, again, a very, very familiar portion of Scripture. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fear. Why would we want to eat anything else? Why? When we can have that. Verses 10 and 11. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Do you know, when this portion of Scripture was shared on Wednesday night, one of the ladies just had a beautiful revelation. And the revelation was from verses 10 and 11, that she saw that as the rain and snow come to the earth and water it, because they don't go back up. The rain and the snow don't go back up. They fall into the earth and they water it. And what happens? They make it bud and flourish. You see, something grows because of the rain and the snow that has watered the earth. Well, how much more with the water of life and the bread of life that come down from heaven into you and me, then how much more when that brick falls into our heart and drops seeds into our heart, how much more will that cause me and you to bud and to flourish? You see, and as that happens individually, that is wonderful, but think about it corporately. Think about everybody in this room budding and flourishing. And us all sharing it with one another. It's beautiful. If I could capture that in a picture, that would be a beautiful garden. It would be a beautiful, flourishing garden with every kind of plant that you can imagine. Because each one of us is an individual plant. But together we're a planting of the Lord that he may be glorified. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm just going to close in prayer. I believe that God has spoken, and I believe that I don't need to say anything more. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for your word, which is our very life. We thank you, Lord, that it's your word which is our food, and that as we feed on it, Father, it brings health and nourishment to our bones. It brings all of the goodness of heaven, all of the benefits of heaven, right into our very being. And Father, I just pray for everyone here today that they have been feeding on you, that they have tasted and seen that you are good, and that you are causing them to hunger and thirst for more of you. Father, I bless them all in Jesus' name, and I just pray, Father, that we may all seek earnestly to improve our diet, both spiritually and naturally. I pray, Lord God, that we would eat daily from your table, and that your food contains all the nourishment and sustenance that we need for each day to get us through whatever situation, whichever life issue we may face. Father, I thank you that feeding on your word will keep us strong and safe and well. And Father, I pray that we would all exercise our muscle of faith on a daily basis, and that we would learn just to simply enjoy the benefits of being well, whole and complete in body, soul and spirit. I pray, Father, that we would all feast only on your delights, and that we will enjoy the richest of fare and an abundance of life. And I pray this, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.